Good morning and welcome to the Voting Advocates Plea for Better Voting Conditions in Florida. My name is Cheryl and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Travis Abercrombie. You may begin, sir.
Thank you so much, and thank you all for joining this call. Good morning. My name is Travis Abercrombie. I'm a communications manager with the All Voting Is Local campaign at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We're pleased today to host today's telephone press briefing to discuss the need for Governor DeSantis to use his executive order to ensure that voting in Florida is safe, accessible, and fair for all. Joining us today are Brad Ashwell, Florida State Director for All Voting Is Local, Michael Pernick, Voting Rights Attorney, NAACP, Legal Defense and Education Fund, Patricia Brigham, President, League of Women Voters of Florida, and Liza McLennan, State Chair, Common Cause Florida. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session. The operator will advise reporters how to get in the queue at the appropriate time to ask your question. First, we'll hear from Brad Ashwell, Florida State Director, All Voting Is Local.
Hi, good morning. Thank you all for attending. I want to first say that our thoughts are with Escambia County, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and other panhandle counties dealing with flooding, power outages, and other damage from Hurricane Sally. As we know, we've been hit really hard in previous election years by hurricanes, so you know, our heart goes out to them, and we'll be watching that closely. That said, the speakers on this call are four of 16 organizations that recently sent a letter to Governor DeSantis, urging him to use his executive authority to make elections safer for voters in November. We want to talk a little about what our recommendations are, and then we also want to touch on the fact that the large mailing by the state to eligible and registered voters and as part of the state's partnership with ERIC happened this week. We'll also talk a little about voter education and the need for more transparency, greater information about poll place changes, and some other issues. So to get back to the letter to Governor DeSantis, our groups and a number of others submitted this letter detailing three steps which we believe would go a long way towards ensuring the governor, ensuring the voters aren't forced to choose between their health and their right to vote in November. We're urging Governor DeSantis to use his executive authority to address these three main issues. You should require that supervisors of elections dramatically increase their education efforts around vote-by-mail drop boxes, and you should take steps that would expand accessibility of these boxes. Yesterday, the Secretary of State expressed encouragement along these lines in her roundtable for supervisors as part of the settlement agreement, but we feel that some supervisors will need a lot more than encouragement. We believe that he should temporarily expand the hours and days of early voting to accommodate more voters, a longer ballot, and to comply with the CDC social distancing recommendations. Supervisors made an unprecedented unified ask back in March to increase their allowable early voting days. We believe the governor should grant them this. And we think the governor should use his authority to temporarily allow vote-by-mail ballots to be counted if postmarked on or before Election Day. One of the main causes for rejections of vote-by-mail ballots has been their late arrival, and it's likely that thousands of valid ballots will be rejected in November if they arrive in supervisors' offices merely a day late. And given concerns about the United States Postal Service and the high number of voters voting by mail this cycle, that could very well be a recipe for a lot of disenfranchised voters. So on that note, I'm going to hand it over to Patty Brigham, the president of the League of Women Voters, to talk a little about ERIC.
Thank you very much, Brad, and good morning, everyone. I also want to extend the League's thoughts to those who have been suffering as a result of Hurricane Sally. Our thoughts go out to those in the panhandle who are having to deal with extensive flooding and other issues. And now to turn to the subject of ERIC. Last year, Florida finally joined the Electronic Registration Information Center, better known as ERIC. It took 7 years of advocacy from voting groups like the League and others on this call today for the state to join the multi-state pact. As a part of the pact, Florida has been required to contact residents who are unregistered but eligible to vote every federal election cycle and educate them on how to get registered. But the state has not historically sent such mailings to voters, or unregistered voters rather, and that work has been left up to third-party groups like the League and political parties. So the League certainly applauds the state for finally joining this pact. However, we are fearful that the required outreach action has come a bit late. The state has mailed some 2 million postcards to unregistered voters, but the October 5th registration deadline looms closer and closer. Recent Postal Service slowdowns may create delays in receipt of those postcards, and they were due to hit mailboxes beginning September the 15th. We strongly encourage those Floridians to watch their mail for that critical voter information, and we're hopeful these citizens will join the approximately 14 million Floridians who are already registered to vote. Once again, voters don't have much time left. If you are not registered to vote, we strongly encourage you to do so now. October the 5th is the deadline, and for those wondering where to go to register online, you can visit the League's platform, vote411.org, which will take you to your Supervisor of Elections website where you can register. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patty. Next, we have from Michael Pernick, Voting Rights Attorney, NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund.
Good morning. My name is Michael Pernick. I'm with the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. As Brad said, we are urging Governor DeSantis to take a variety of steps to ensure a safe November election during this pandemic. I'm going to focus my comments today specifically on drop boxes. The governor must use his executive authority to expand the use of drop boxes so voters have a safe, secure, and easy option to return their vote by mail ballots, which, by the way, are the same thing as absentee ballots, as they're commonly known in other states. For many voters, casting a ballot in person at a polling place carries an unacceptable risk of contracting COVID-19. This is especially the case for many Black and Latinx voters who have been disproportionately affected by the pandemic. At the same time, some voters lack confidence in the ability of the United States Postal Service to timely return their completed vote-by-mail ballot. So for these voters, the option to personally return their vote-by-mail ballot to a secure drop box is the only acceptable choice. There are four steps that we're recommending the governor take to ensure that drop boxes are available to all Florida voters. First, voters need more drop boxes, and those drop boxes must be placed in communities of color. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has recommended one drop box for every 15,000 to 20,000 voters. The numerous counties in Florida fall woefully short of this recommendation. It's also important to leave drop boxes in place through Election Day. The state's current plan is to remove drop boxes at the end of the early voting period. This is a recipe for voter confusion. Second, drop boxes need to be placed outside and made available 24 hours a day wherever possible. During the primary, most drop boxes were placed inside with limited hours because many SOEs were under the incorrect impression that state law requires them to provide staffing for all drop boxes at all times. In fact, state law imposes no obligation on staffing for secure drop boxes that are located at main election offices, branch offices, and early voting sites. Third, voters need clear and accessible information on drop box location and availability. Drop boxes are a new option to Florida voters, so education is especially important. And finally, voters waiting in line to return their vote-by-mail ballot to a drop box when polls close at 7 p.m. on Election Day must be entitled to vote. During the primary, we saw lines of voters forming to use drop boxes, and it's important to guarantee that voters waiting in line to use drop boxes when polls close will not be disenfranchised. The governor has the power to address these issues through an executive order, and he should also temporarily expand early voting days and extend the absentee voting deadline. The clock is ticking, and we need action immediately to allow sufficient time to implement these common sense and nonpartisan recommendations. This pandemic poses not only a profound public health threat, but also a threat to our democracy. Our recommended steps will help ensure that Florida voters are not forced to choose between their health and their fundamental right to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And now rounding out our speakers, we'll hear from Liza McClenahan, State Chair, Common Cause Florida.
Good morning. Again, we extend our condolences to folks in the Panhandle counties that are impacted by Hurricane Sally. We're asking the governor to temporarily expand hours and dates of early voting through executive order. Florida law currently provides a mandatory early voting period of 8 days beginning on a Saturday, ending on a Saturday, with one Sunday early voting period. Optional periods begin on the Monday before that Saturday and continue through the second Sunday. Earlier this year, the supervisors of elections requested that the governor extend early voting period to 20 days. We are echoing that request. So beginning on Tuesday, October 13th, and ending on Sunday, November the 1st, and to use the maximum number of hours available, which is 12 hours, so from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so that there is a consistency throughout the state for availability of this option for those people who feel they must vote in person, and to give them the option for social distancing and the safety of cleaning the polling place between visits by the voters. Further, we're looking for education, voter education, and transparency. We need to remember that all voters do not vote during presidential preference primaries and primaries. So some of the voters who will be voting during the general election will have missed all the changes in polling places and new information about drop boxes that you and we have been going through along with the supervisors of elections and the Division of Elections. We need to make sure that that we are transparent about communicating these changes in the processes so that they have the options to participate in the way that's safest for them in their current lifestyle. Polling place changes need to be clearly indicated on websites. Some of them have previously been located in documents called COVID update, legal notices, press releases, or polling place changes, and not necessarily reflected in the buttons where voters would immediately go to find my precinct or where do I vote, especially if they're voting for the first time since 2016. And also, I want to recommend that when providing information to voters, we not just talk about websites and remember that there are telephones, and so that voters can call their supervisor of elections office that have staff that are waiting to answer their questions should they not have easy access to the web. And this information also applies to the governor's previous executive order, where he asked for transparency in indicating changes to polling places and administrative changes in the voting process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Liza. We're now ready to take questions from reporters. For reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. Operator, can you please provide instructions for asking those questions?
Yes, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset first before pressing any numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Standing by for questions. speakers, I show no questions in queue at this time.
Would any of the speakers like to make additional comments beyond what you've already said?
This is Brad. I would just maybe to reemphasize the importance of the third prong of the letter. You know, as Michael said, we're encouraging the governor and really supervisors too to take a lot of steps to expand and better educate voters on Dropbox's availability and use. And we want them to expand. We want the governor to extend the timeline for early voting, but we also need to move the deadline for mail ballots. Whether mail ballot counts in Florida depends on not when it's mailed, but when it arrives at officials' offices. This is really kind of a public education issue too. We need voters to know that it can't just be postmarked by election day. It needs to be in the election office by election day. If it's a single day late, that ballot will be outright rejected. So we really need the governor to extend that deadline.
And this is Patricia Brigham with the League. I'd like to emphasize the importance of voters getting in their mail-in ballots. If the governor does not extend the deadline, and we are certainly hopeful that he will, we are recommending that voters do not wait, that when they receive their vote by mail ballot, they get it in the mail no later than 2 weeks ahead of the deadline, which is 7 p.m. on election day. And preferably, we encourage voters to send it in by October the 13th because of the Postal Service issue. So once again, please, to our voters, we recommend getting your ballot in 2 to 3 weeks before election day. Thank you.
And speakers, we do have a question that just appeared. It comes from Jeffrey Schwerz from USA Today. Sir, your line is now open.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to follow up on what Patricia Brigham was saying about the ERIC-generated voter registration invitation postcards. And this could be, anybody can feel this, whoever feels, you know, like they want to chime in on, you know, on top of what Patricia already said. Is there a sense, you know, of, you know, like this is sort of a cynical, you know, effort by the state to meet the letter of the requirement, you know, to notify people when they've had, really, since they got this program, ERIC program, up and running in the state, it's been months. And has anybody gotten, so that's one question. And two, has anybody gotten a satisfactory answer why they waited until this week to send out those postcards? Because I haven't gotten a response from the state on that question.
This is Liza McClanahan with Common Cause Florida. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Liza. Yep. Constitution Day just seems
Constitution Day, yes.
That's
very
right.
Important day.
Thank you.
The ERIC organization has recommended for years that this outreach to potentially eligible but unregistered voters occur before the general election. So there's a lot more information that's in the press and from the candidates and the supervisors of elections about what's going on. So if the postcard were mailed earlier in the election cycle, it may have been missed by the potential eligible voter.
So what are you saying?
That it's an ERIC recommendation that the postcards go out prior to the general election.
Right, general. But isn't it a concern that people are being given enough time to actually, you know, get the postcards and register at this point?
This is Patricia, and I can take that question. Jeff, yes, we are concerned about that. 3 weeks isn't much time. If the postcards have hit the mailboxes as of the 15th, We've got 3 weeks to October the 5th, so that's not a lot of time. I understand what Liza is saying regarding Eric and the decisions that were made to send them when they did, but the league would have preferred to see them sent earlier.
Okay. Do you think this is going to have any impact, really, on the November election as far as expanding voter participation or, you know, seeing any kind of boost? I've seen people estimate, like, if 5% of these recipients actually register, it's only 112,000. That's basically the margin by which Trump won in Florida.
I mean, this is Brad. I could speak to that.
Go ahead, Brad.
Patty, did you want?
No,
well,
you
I was
go
just
ahead.
Say, I mean, well, any boost to the voter registration numbers at this point is a good boost, a needed one, given the low registration numbers this cycle. Whether it moves the needle, you know, I don't know. I think there is a big question as far as why only 2.2 million cards were sent out. Initially, we were being told it would be 4.5 to 6 million. And I know a lot of us are scratching our heads as to why the number is so low. And one thing I would add that we've been saying since the beginning was that really this is still like a very, even if they did the full 6 million, got it out earlier, it's still a very minimal effort. They really should be doing a lot more to register voters year round. In this case, they should be doing a lot more than sending a postcard, even though that's the minimum requirement for Eric. And they should be reaching out to voters by every means possible.
Okay.
This is Patricia. I completely agree with Brad on this. It would be a good idea, and that's an understatement, to have the state of Florida doing much more to educate the voters in such a critical election year, especially under COVID-19.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Sure.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. And speakers, we have no further questions in queue.
Okay.
Would our speakers like to make any additional or closing statements, if at all? Going. Okay. Well, this concludes today's call. Thank you for joining us. We'll be releasing the audio of this call later today, along with the press release. If anyone has any additional questions, please feel free to reach out to me at travis@allvotingislocal.org. Thanks so much, and have a great afternoon. Great day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.